A few weeks ago, I was speaking at a men's event where I almost got hypothermia, I met a guy called Rob, and we were on this kind of speaker point on the side of a hill together, and we just kind of hit it off, and I just thought this guy would be great for him to come and share at River. So he's kindly agreed to drive down last night, 4 hours from Yorkshire, Rob, I'd like to invite you up, and just welcome you to our church family, and feel free to share a little bit about who you are. He's a good guy.
Thank you. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. God is doing something amazing in this country at the moment. I travel quite a lot with my work, which I'll fill you in a minute, but in the last 4 weeks I've been in Glasgow, Motherwell, Belfast, Bradford, Leeds, Halifax, and now here. And there is something that is the same, oh thank you, everywhere that I go, that actually the presence of God is everywhere that we go. We do a lot of work in churches and community groups, and I'll fill you in on that, but I just want to encourage you that actually God is doing something incredible in this place at the moment, whether you travel or not, whether you see it or not. The Holy Spirit is very evident. Some amazing things are being done across the country. Now, as Dave said, I am Rob, I'm from Yorkshire. I have a wife and 2 children, so normally I'm woken up at approximately 5 a.m. with my son jumping on me asking for porridge. This morning Dave didn't jump on me and ask for porridge, which was quite nice, so I had a lie-in until 7 o'clock, so it was lovely. I work for an organisation called Mercy UK. We're based in West Yorkshire in a beautiful little village called Oxenhope, right in the valley, hills either side. It's absolutely stunning. Now, Mercy UK has been going for 11 years. This is our 11th year. We basically have one message. Our one message is the message of freedom, that people can have freedom, that what freedom looks like, and people can have it through Jesus. Now, we deliver that message in many different ways. We deliver training courses, which is a huge part of what I do. We deliver a training course called Empower, which is something to do to help people help us. And we run a training course called Keys to Freedom, which is our discipleship course, but I'll mention that later on. We have a residential home in Yorkshire for girls aged 18 to 30. So girls that have life-controlling issues such as drug abuse, sexual abuse, etc., etc. They will come and stay in our incredible Victorian home. It's a 15-bed facility. They will stay there for 6 months to a year approximately. We will counsel them up and we will speak Jesus at them, and they will leave healed and different and better, and then we help integrate them back into society again, help integrate them back into the real world with different care partners that we have across the country. And they come in completely free of charge. We don't take a single penny off them, and it costs approximately $15,000 for each girl to go through the program. We also have our Keys to Freedom discipleship course, which is what I tend to mainly run, which is an inner healing-based discipleship course. It does exactly what it says on the tin. It brings people closer to Jesus. It gives them freedom. It brings them healing. So within all those and all our speaking events, that's what we do. We deliver the message of freedom. We have the worst business model known to man. We take no government funding, no funding of any sort that comes with any sort of red tape. And if anyone's in that world, you'll know that that's 90% of funding. And we literally get our money from donations or people that are giving or speaking events or training courses. And we're still going strong. And we have been going 11 years and just built our second home, our second property, where we all work out of. It's on the same grounds. It's an incredible place to be. It's an incredible place to work. And my journey with Mercy started, unbeknown to me, approximately 17 years ago. An 18-year-old girl from West Yorkshire who had grown up in church, had been abused from a very young age, and had got caught up into a horrific cycle of heroin, of drugs, of a lifestyle that was going to end up in death very, very, very quickly, like months. And she decided to get on a plane and fly to America, which is where Mercy started originally. And she booked herself into their residential home. And a year later, she came out a very different person. 2 years later, I married her. She's now one of the chief executives of the organization. So when I'm at work, she's my boss, which is really fun-ish. But it's great to be here. I'm actually an ex-teacher, so to be in this, which feels very familiar. I'm resisting the temptation to do a register and laminate things. So I spent 13 years in education, realised there was something else that God wanted me to do, but as is always the way, I didn't know what that something else was. So a quick check on the calculator, can we survive? Just about, good, I quit my job. Six months of being a stay-at-home dad to my young children, I started working for Mercy. So it's a pleasure to be here. Like Dave said, I met Dave on a hill, a very wet hill, if I recall, a very windy hill. We had no phone signal, no phones, and it was when Storm Ophelia was hitting. So unbeknown to us, at 1 o'clock in the morning and the 60-mile-an-hour winds, and we were in a tent on a hill. It's laugh or cry type of time, really. So we decided to laugh about it, and we're still here. Now, this topic that Dave's asked me to speak on, all about Jesus, a great topic, a fantastic topic. And my talk, I guess, if you want a title, is Legacy in Jesus. Like I said, I've got two young children. They are aged 7 and 6. Somebody once said, if you could look after my children, you can look after any children. I wasn't sure if that was a compliment or not, but I took it as a compliment. They are very strong-willed. They are very lively, and sometimes it feels like we've got 5 at home and not 2. Lots of big emotions, lots of drama, lots of fun, lots of love, lots of crazy. But I guess that makes it a little bit more exciting, doesn't it? My legacy that I was leaving for my children was that, at the time, was fine. I was early 30s. I had a job. Like I said, I was a teacher. I was head of year in a high school, head of year 11. So had 15 and 16-year-olds to drag through their GCSEs, kicking or screaming. I had parents kicking and screaming. And that was my job. And I actually really enjoyed it. I was good at it. And I loved it. So my life was fine. We had 2 cars. We had a house. We had 2 children. I was married. We married 10 years at the time. Everything was fine. There was food in the fridge. There was a bit of money in the bank. Everything was okay. But actually, deep down, there were things that were popping up in me that weren't particularly helpful. I could hide them. Of course I could. We're all really good at hiding stuff. You can always cover it with a mask or cover it with a smile, cover it with a posh church talk and everything else. And I did that for many years. But actually there were things in me that kept popping up that I wasn't particularly fond of. Every so often, anger would pop up. Not massive. I was never going to get into any sort of major fight, but I'd get cross really quickly. Wi-Fi was down. Oh, bang! It's only little, but it doesn't really deserve a punch on the table. Or something else wasn't quite right, or it would just be this sort of niggling, like this little bubbling underneath the surface type of thing. Life was fine. Life was okay. Dealing with teenagers with that little bubbly thing was a bit fun, but it was all right. Life was okay. There was isolation there. There was sort of loneliness, there was depression, and if anyone's ever struggled or know anyone that struggled with depression, they can sometimes describe it as a bit of a black cloud. And that's what it was. Everything was okay, but the stresses of work and the stresses of family life and everything else, and then you'd sit down on the sofa, and I would just sort of lose 2 hours. I wasn't doing anything crazy, wasn't drinking myself into a stupor, but just sort of sitting there zoning out and go, oh gosh, that was 2 hours ago. Sort of little warning sign came up, I was like, all right, well, but I'm okay. My life's okay. I was involved in a church. I've been saved a long time. I was a Christian. Life was okay. But actually, the more and more that I tried to sweep those things under the rug, the tougher it all became, because you end up with a very bumpy rug, especially the older you get. And I kept tripping over them more and more. And there was one big warning sign one day. I was on the way to work in rush hour traffic, and a guy cut in front of me. He was in the wrong, I was in the right, but I didn't do anything. I didn't beep the horn, didn't do anything. And he turned around and he started gesturing his fingers in the window, getting really angry. And I found myself with one hand on the seatbelt, one hand on the door, willing him to get out the car, because I could see that he was smaller than me and I was going to really enjoy destroying him. I was literally, I handbrake on, I was like, I am ready to go. And I saw him reach for the door handle. I was like, I dare you, I would love this. And I was ready to go. Full on rage, full on, I'm going to destroy you. Proper. That's not very healthy. I'm sitting there on the way to work with 15 and 16-year-olds that obviously have lots of stuff going on in their world. I was like, that's not very healthy at all. So I stopped. I was like, everything inside me wanted to, but I was like, actually, this this is no longer just a sweeping under the rug, life is fine. This is now becoming a bit of a liability. Dealing with my children, dealing with the kids at school. Everything was no longer bubbling, it was more here. It was more on the surface, it was more getting a little bit closer. The depression was getting a little bit worse. The isolation, a little bit worse. And you can do that for so long and put on a brave face and put on a mask and everything was okay. But for me, it was just getting closer and closer and closer to breaking point. But I didn't know what breaking point was going to look like. And I didn't want to hang around long enough to find out that I'd assaulted somebody and ended up whatever, whatever. And it all became too much. There was a mask of me at church. I was somebody different at church than I was at work. I was somebody different with my friends than I was elsewhere. I was different with my children than I was with others. I was different with my wife than I cared to be. And it all got a little bit too complicated. I remember I had a very difficult conversation with a close family member. Nothing massive. It was about child's birthday party. It was nothing particular. But that just happened to be the last straw. And I walked in from work. I left work early. I came home. The kids weren't at home yet, neither was my wife. I walked in and I collapsed on the floor, on my rug in my lounge, in a fetal ball, sobbing. This was 3 years ago. Full on mental breakdown. Full on just nothing left. Not even the mental capacity to make myself a cup of tea. Nothing. Just sobbing and sobbing. And that's quite a strange place to be for a 6 foot, 15 stone northerner, to be curled up in a fetal ball on the floor, sobbing. Very unfamiliar. Not even sure how I can get up. Not even sure that I can face the day. And the next day I couldn't make it to work, and I couldn't make it to work for about 2 months. But God spoke really, really clearly to me. He said, what you don't deal with, your children will deal with. And on the flip side of that, what you do deal with, your children don't have to. And I was very tempted to pack a rucksack and just disappear, go off the grid, sort of go a bit Bear Grylls and do it all myself in the wilderness. No one will really care, no one will really know. But for the sake of my wife and my children, I decided to fight. Because I didn't want to hand that legacy over to my children. What you don't deal with, your children will deal with. And my son at the time was 3. And it would have absolutely killed me to see him at the age of 25, whatever, dealing with anger, dealing with depression, dealing with isolation, knowing full well that I could have actually sorted some of that stuff out for him, but didn't have the balls to do it, and pushed it all away, and then it would have killed me to see him dealing with that. It's a little bit like if you had broken glass in the toy box, and I go and ask him to pick something out. Well, he might cut himself quite badly. He might not, but he might. So as a father, I would clean that glass up, obviously. So I'm not going to ask him to go through life knowing full well that I'm dealing with A, B, C, D, E, and then he's going to deal with the same stuff. So I was like, actually, I don't want this. So I decided to fight. I decided that freedom was something that I wanted. And freedom is obviously, I've been in church a long time, freedom is something that people have talked about a lot. But for me, it always tends to stop at the how. It tends to stop at what it is and what it looks like and how cool it is to be free with Jesus, etc., etc., fantastic. And then I'm sitting there going, yeah, but how do I do that? How do I get there? It's like me saying, I went to this amazing restaurant and this amazing food and just literally paint a picture of this incredible restaurant, and someone goes, where is it? I'm not telling you. And then walk away. Like, I want to go. I want to go to that restaurant. But I want freedom. Tell me where it is. So, which is why I love what I get to do now, because I get to share what freedom is. And for me, freedom was a place that at the time was completely unfamiliar to me. I had no idea what it was, where it was, or even where to start. So I called a friend of a friend and I got hold of a therapist and started a long and difficult journey. And I really do mean difficult, like struggling to get out of bed difficult. And it costs a lot of money. Therapy is £50 an hour. At least it is where I was going. And I was having 3 therapy sessions a week for 8 weeks straight. That's a lot of money. When you signed off sick from work, being a bit of a mental head case. and obviously being signed off from teaching, it's not really like one of those jobs where you're not there and no one notices. Because it's very clear that Mr. Harvey was not in the school for 2 months. So I absolutely went after freedom. I went after it in a way that I've never actually gone after anything before in my life. I was refusing to hand over that legacy of anger and depression and isolation and imprisonment over to my children. But it's not just about my children. It was also about my wife. It was also about me. It was also about those that I bump into. It was also about my brother and my mum and my dad and everyone else that I do life with, which is a lot of people. I can hand a bit of a legacy over to them, even though they're not necessarily connected to me. But what they see in me, I can pass that over. So what I was sweeping under the rug for many, many years became quite a liability. There was a verse that got me through most of this, which was from Jeremiah 6:16, and it says, "Ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." So ask where the good way is. So I wanted freedom. Where is it? What does it look like? And to me, it was literally like if you've ever done any sort of backpacking or trekking or anything like that, and you've got a huge rucksack on your back, and you take it off, and for a moment you feel like you're going to float away. When me and Dave were out, we both had a 20 kilogram pack on each, and you take it off, and for a moment you feel lighter than air. For a moment you feel like a mountain goat that you can run up this hill. And for a moment you feel like you're going to float away. And at times I think we both were carrying somebody else's rucksack as well. So that was a 20 kilogram pack. And take them both off, it feels unbelievable. So to wake up now with my children jumping on my head asking for porridge, my son has this thing, he flicks my forehead and says, "Dad, porridge, Dad. Porridge," which is a horrible way to wake up. That doesn't half mess with your dreams. I'm like, oh my gosh. Especially in the dark at 5 a.m. It's like this. But to wake up in the morning and actually be able to hand him something better than a dad that's just about trying to hold it all together and trying to look cool in front of everybody and trying to put on this mask and trying to be a good husband and trying to be a good dad and trying to be good at work, but deep down knowing that actually I'm just falling to pieces and it's only a matter of time before someone sees it. But actually to hold your hand up and say, "Yeah, actually I could do with a little bit of help here," that's probably one of the most masculine things somebody can do. It's not all about your weights. It's not all about your bravado. It's not all about your alpha male. It's actually leaving something better for the next generation than it was when you took it. And that really is what was really on my heart, to really pass that over. Now, the work that I get to do with Mercy is amazing. Now, I haven't come here to sell any product. I haven't brought any product with me because I'm not interested in somebody buying a couple of books, etc. But what I am interested in is people getting together as groups and wanting to do things together in partnership. Now, we've got this resource, and it's called Keys to Freedom, which is what I pretty much run. Now, this is it. It's an 8-week discipleship course. And it does exactly what it says on the tin. It gives you the keys to freedom. It's an interactive discipleship course that actually allows people a connection with the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that will reveal things to you. It's not me. It's not somebody else. And it's not a prescriptive, this week we'll look at anger. This week we'll look at relationships. Every week is guided by the Holy Spirit. So every week that you will go through it and you will find different pockets of brilliance in it. Because it's directly from the Holy Spirit. Now, I've done this book a couple of times. And every time I train it, which is about once a month, we also do parts of it in the training session. And every time we do that, I also take part in it. Because I'm like, well, actually, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to me about stuff. So it doesn't matter if I've done it last month. I can do it a bit again. And every time I do it, the Holy Spirit brings something else up. It's just that constant sharpening of your sword, sharpening your axe, that you don't need to run through life bluntly with. And it's such a privilege. I get to mentor people. I get to mainly mentor men through it. And I had one guy ring me about 4 months ago. And he'd somehow got hold of the book. And he'd somehow got hold of my number. And he literally rang me and he said, "Is that Rob?" I said, "Yeah." And I went, "Hi, I'm this person." He said, "You don't know who I am. I just need Jesus. And I'm wondering if you can help." I'm like, "Yes, I can help. I don't care how you've got my number or how you've got that book, but that's amazing." And we chat every week. He's working through this himself. We chat every week. We have another call this week coming. And he's just an incredible guy. We run this with a group of 40 men from 4M. 40 men in one group, and then we have loads of other groups, and we have tons of churches that get involved with it because people are hungry for freedom. They're hungry for what it looks like. They're hungry for it in their world. They're hungry for the Holy Spirit. And like I said, God is doing something incredible in this country at the moment. Something incredible. One of my friends stood up in front of her church and said, we're going to do a ladies' group. This is literally how it went. We're going to do a ladies' group. We're going to work through this sort of book. It'll be on a Tuesday night. And if you want to sign up, just put your name on a piece of paper when they left. 54 people signed up. And she rang me the next day. She's like, Rob, I've got a real problem. I was like, okay, great. She goes, I'm the only one that's trained to do this course. We've got 54 people. And we sort of wanted to do it in groups of 10. I was like, well, you're going to struggle with that, aren't you? She's like, yeah, can you lend some hands? So we sort of scurried around the office and got the staff that were free, and we sent them down. And they're doing amazing work. Because it's not what freedom necessarily looks like. It's actually how to get there. Which is why what I'd really like to do in a few minutes is do some ministry time. Because it's not about what I can bring. It's not about the word that I've got. And it's not about any preacher or any words on a page. But actually, it's about what the Holy Spirit can do in this moment. We have way more courage in us than there is danger out there. We have way more courage in us than there is danger out there. And I would really just like to encourage us all, and I include myself in this, that actually if we are bold enough to step out and say, Jesus, what have you got for me? Then actually our worlds can be radically changed. Not because we've listened to some really cool podcasts and got a new CD, but actually because we've actually connected with the King of Kings. We've actually connected with the Holy Spirit. So in a minute, what I would really like to do is we're going to do something called a divine exchange. Now, basically what this is when there's worship on, when there's ministry time, I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit a couple of questions. And the answers will be different for everybody. Everybody will have different answers. So the first question is, it's all about sweeping stuff under the rug. It's all following on from that legacy, from the things inside you that you don't really like. Some people may be aware of them, some people may not. You might not even be aware of them, which is why it's amazing to partner with the Holy Spirit, because he'll show you. So those things that maybe we are sweeping under the rug, maybe those things that we are pretending aren't there and we're really hoping that no one sees, and we're also really hoping that we don't see, but every so often it just sort of comes in a bit of a wave, then it goes again. Like I said, our lives are fine. Everyone's here, life is probably fine. There's no major crisis, there's no huge, massive, my life has come to a standstill end type of crisis. But actually there's stuff in there. So I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what things am I sweeping under the rug? What things am I pretending aren't there? What things am I trying to cover? The other question would be, what would my life look like without them there? What would my life look like without anger in it, isolation, depression? Well, actually, I can answer that now. It was very hard at the time, but I can answer that now. So what would your life look like without that bumpy rug, without those huge things that you're trying to push away and hide and get rid of? What would it look like if they actually weren't there? The third question is, Jesus, what do you think of me? And that's a huge one, because that actually can change your life in a second. Because actually, if he thinks that whatever it is of us, I mean, and it's always good, whatever he thinks of us can change our mindset, our stance, our thought process in an absolute second. And then we're going to do the divine exchange of taking those things from under the rug, passing them to Jesus. And then he's going to give us something in return. For me, if I had that massive box of anger and I handed that to Jesus, there's a big anger-shaped hole in my heart somewhere that is going to need to be filled, and I want him to fill it. So we take that thing of anger, take that thing of whatever it is, take that thing, pass it over to Jesus and have something in return. So the questions again are, what things am I sweeping under my rug? What would my life look like without them there? Jesus, what do you think of me? Jesus, I give you my whatever it is. What do you give me in return? And if throughout the ministry time you feel like you want to come and share it, share it. If you don't, great. Scribble it down. Stick it on your phone. Do whatever you want to do with it. And if you don't want to partake in it, absolutely fine. We're not going to force you to do anything. But actually, Jesus can do way more in 30 seconds of ministry than we can do on 5 days on a platform with a microphone. So I just encourage you just to, if you want to, just to take part in this as the worship team come up and just lead us in some ministry. Just to focus on what he's saying. Two questions again. Well, Jesus, what am I sweeping under my rug? And Jesus, what would my life look like without them there?